It's certainly a pleasure to be here to talk about the PORC story, so how we have looked at advancing the codes of practice. Jackie certainly talked about how the best way to improve animal care on farm is through education and information, but it only does part of the story. It doesn't help us describe what's happening on farm. And so we're going to talk today about what we've done in the hog industry, which is about an assessment program. So Jackie talked about Canada's new approach. We have a new approach to developing codes through the National Farm Animal Care Council, and we're just starting to work on a common approach to developing assessment approaches. And I think that'll be really exciting for us to do this as a community, an agriculture community, to make our codes much more credible. What the situation is in the hog industry is, like many commodities, we have a code of practice. Actually, the first one was done in 1984, and the one that we have now, like our existing code, was done in 1993, so it's quite dated. We actually decided to go ahead and develop an assessment tool before we revised our code. And we put together an assessment tool and launched it in 2005. We are also in the process of doing a new code under the new process that Jackie talked about. We just started that in December of last year, and we're expected to finish that sometime in 2013. And then that will involve us revising our assessment tool. So in some ways we're ahead because we have an assessment tool, but in some ways we're behind because our assessment tool is based on an outdated code. So I just want to talk a little bit about why we went ahead and developed an assessment tool without updating our code. And it has to do with the environment we were in 10 years ago. I was actually surprised when I got ready to put this presentation together that it was exactly 10 years ago that a whole bunch of things were happening in the hog sector that really made us go on the path to developing an assessment tool. So 10 years ago was when the EU had their directive on banning sow stalls for certain periods of a sow's life. And that really hit us because they were regulating this. They also had some other requirements around space allowances for sows and gilts and permanent access to rooting materials for sows and gilts. At the same time, the US was going through a lot of changes. This is when you saw McDonald's and Burger King start getting into the animal care issues, and their National Council of Chain Restaurants and the Food Marketing Institute came in as well to say, look, let's try to address animal welfare from across retailers and food service establishments. And we also knew globally there were lots of activist pressures that were forcing these responses, whether they were regulatory responses or whether they were marketing responses. So, in November of 2001, we held a workshop at the CPC to look at what was happening. And we started off with the environmental scan and kind of got a sense of what were the responses to the pressure. So, in EU, as we talked about, there were regulatory responses. And the US was really looking at marketing responses. It was the industry, different segments of the industry, taking control and saying, look, we've got these pressures, we need to do something about it. And so we kind of sat down and said, well, what should we do about it? And the first choice was to revise our code. Our code was outdated, let's revise it. But when we looked at that option, we said, you know, is that going to do anything for us? And when we talked about it, we thought, you know, not really, because we don't even know who's using the code. We don't know how many producers are on it. We don't know which parts of the code they're following. And we can't talk about it. We can just talk about how it's there. And actually, for many, many years that worked. All you had to say was, there was a code. And it seemed to end the discussion. But that wasn't the case anymore. We knew we needed something more. We needed something auditable. And so instead of spending 3 years, which we knew was what it was going to take to revise our code, to do a new code, we took those years and developed an assessment tool. So the first thing we did was we put together a team, and we wanted this to be a credible process. So even though it was directed by the Canadian Pork Council, so a group representing hog producers, we said we want to be able to defend the process that we're doing. So we had producers around the table. We also had researchers that were involved in animal welfare research on hogs, and we had some government officials. And then we figured out, well, how were we going to do this? And we looked around the world and kind of looked at what other groups were doing, and there wasn't a standard approach to developing an animal care assessment. And we thought, well, what do we know? Well, at that point, we knew about HACCP because we'd just been through developing a non-farm food safety program. And it was actually really nice and neat because it was based on HACCP. And so you knew you had to look at everything coming into the farm, and you knew you had to look at production steps, and you looked at how could those things affect food safety. But food safety is actually much more black and white than animal care. And we wanted to make this a credible process, but it was very difficult to even use a HACCP approach to animal care. It doesn't fit quite as nicely. And unlike food safety, with animal care, there's lots of emotions involved and lots of inherent biases with the people around the table. So producers sitting around the table, very resistant to people telling them that they don't know what they're doing on farm. And researchers having very good information, but maybe stuff that's not practical on the farming side. So you had to bring all that together and develop an assessment tool that made sense. So we call it based on HACCP, but in a very loose concept. We tried to make it kind of HACCP-based in that we looked at what were things were coming into the farm and what was happening on the farm, but things that could really impact the welfare of the animal. And we coined this thing of animal control care control points. So if something was really going to affect the welfare of the animal, we really should have some control over that, and that control mechanism should be assessed. So when we finished putting together our module, we pilot tested it, and we had it reviewed by other stakeholders in the industry. And the result is what we call ACA, Animal Care Assessment. And it's a comprehensive animal care assessment program. It uses, we call them the three types of measures, animal-based measures, environment-based measures, and process-based measures. So in it, there are questions that relate to what the animal is doing. So for example, body scores. You know, what does the animal look like? Does it look like it's a fit animal? Environment-based measures, so what's happening in the production environment, so is there non-slip flooring provided? Is there a place for sick or injured animals to go? And process-based measures, so do you have an emergency plan? And I know there's lots and lots of debate out there about these different types of measures, and there seems to be, certainly in Europe, this move towards just animal-based measures. That's really all you should be looking at. And I still think the jury's out on it. Certainly when we put this together, it made sense to have each of these types somehow involved in the assessment module. And I still think it's the right way to go, because when you have someone come on your farm and look at what you're doing, there are things they probably need to see that aren't going to happen right then. So you hope there's not a power failure when the auditor comes, but you want to know there's an emergency plan in place. So doesn't it make sense that part of an assessment tool should be to look at, say, a management or a process-based question? And I think the same is true for the environment-based measures. You know, do you have a sick pen? I mean, it's pretty simple to look at. It is technically an environment-based measure, but doesn't it make sense to assess those as well? So we've set up our animal care assessment tool using the module of having set standards. So we have a booklet that has a list of questions. Some of them are shaded, and that means they're a program requirement. You have to do these things. They have to be done appropriately for you to be considered on the program. And then we have unshaded questions, which are voluntary. You still need to do them, but if you don't meet the requirements, you don't fail the program. And I mention this because that's the way we've set it up, and it actually parallels the way we set up our food safety program. So it is a set of requirements that you have to meet. If you don't meet them, you're not on the program. You're not considered to be registered. There are other approaches to this, which groups putting up assessment programs will have to figure out. there are ways where you score. So maybe there's out of 100, as long as you pass, you can be on the program, or as long as you get 70%, you're on the program. You may have a situation where some of your questions are weighted, so they're more important than other questions, so that you get the right scoring system. You may decide to assess only a small set of requirements to make the assessment much more efficient. So maybe you pick the 3 or the 5 most important ones. We've done kind of a broader scope where everything that we thought was critical is assessed. And so we have a program that is actually 61 questions, 25 of them considered program requirements. So once you have a program, though, then you have to implement it. And so program delivery is as important, if probably not more important, than program content. It was probably a bit easier for us because we already had a food safety system in place, and we wanted to just use that same delivery system. So this slide just talks about how we've structured it, which is the same food safety and animal care. We have a national system, so we have national standards. So it's one program across the country. We have national training materials that are used for training producers and for training what we call validators. It's a term that we used when we started the food safety program because everyone was scared of the term auditor. They thought there was going to be a lot of resistance actually from producers about sending an auditor on farm because it had kind of tax implications. So we use the term validator, which has stuck with us, but maybe is only meaningful to the hog industry. And it's really the person who goes on the farm, an external person who goes on the farm, to make sure that the program standards are being met. So they actually go in the barn, measure what's happening with what the program requirements are, and review any required documentation. And I like to tell this story. When we did our food safety program, now it was launched in 1998, the years leading up to that, we didn't have any on-farm programs before that. And our chair of the Canadian Pork Council was also chairing the food safety committee. And when we started out, he said, there's no way I'm having somebody come in my farm, like in my barn, and look at what I'm doing. That's crazy. I'm not having that. I'll let them look at my paper. But that's it. Well, by the end of the development of our food safety program, he was probably the biggest proponent of why there needed to be an external review in the barns, because really that was the only way to prove what was happening there. So that's the way these programs are structured. There is a national kind of audit protocol, so how producers get on the program, how validation happens, that the criteria is all set nationally. And there is national oversight with internal audits. Because of the way we're structured, and you know, we're a big country with lots of space between farms, delivery happens provincially. So in every province, there's someone responsible for delivering this program plus our food safety program. And so that's because the staff and the resources are at the provincial level. So national materials, provincial delivery. The ACA was first launched in 2005 with what we call an advanced version, and then the full launch in 2006. Just a bit about why we went the assessment approach in terms of really implementing codes and requirements for producers. And I think the first one is the key one, is that it moves us beyond education. It's a means to verify what's happening on farm, because all farms are visited. If you're on the program, you have been visited by a validator, and you have met the program requirements. I would actually argue that it provides more oversight than a regulatory approach, because you're on every farm. I don't know of a regulation, certainly, that applies to hog farms where every farm is visited. There's some sample of them that are visited, or things are sometimes triggered when things don't go well, but no system, no regulatory kind of enforcement of a visit to every farm. And I think that's the real strength of these industry programs. And the other key is that the standards are followed. If you're on the program, you've demonstrated you've met the standards. And that was really one of the guiding principles to the development of our assessment tool is the producers around the table said, you know, we need to know that all hog farms are meeting these requirements. We can't afford for animal abuse to be happening or for these standards not to be met, that's the criteria for being in the industry. We also believe that by developing a national program, it has prevented the proliferation of lots of other animal care programs. And I'm quite convinced that had this not been done by the Canadian Pork Council, our major processors would have developed their own programs, and they would have been slightly different. And so producers may have had to face meeting one or two or three different sets of animal care criteria. This way, you keep it on a level playing field. And lastly, it allows the industry to speak confidently. We can talk about not just having a code, but about what producers are actually doing on farm. And we're a big export-oriented industry. It's now one of the things we talk about in our export markets as well. And I think it gives confidence to our buyers when we can talk about what's happening on animal care on farm. That's not to say there haven't been challenges. And the challenge list is probably longer than any other. Anyone that works for agriculture associations knows that we're kind of hit what's called program fatigue. I was involved with our food safety program, and it was actually quite exciting. It was the first program that was launched, and producers were actually willing to take it on. But now they know what on-farm programs are. They know that, you know, it's additional work for them. It's more record keeping. It is an added cost with somebody else coming on their farm. So there is definitely program fatigue. We've got food safety. There's environmental initiatives, certainly at the provincial level. There's traceability. There's biosecurity and animal welfare. So there's a lot of things that producers are being asked to do. Increased cost. There is increased cost, even just the on-farm oversight with validation. The validation for animal care takes place with the food safety, but it is added time, and that has to be paid for. There are additional administrative burdens from national and provincial associations, and there are, in some cases, going to be increased production costs for producers that have to do something different to meet the standards. And the financial benefits are uncertain. I mean, we have in the hog industry producers saying, sure, we'd do this. Just, you know, give us an extra dollar or two a hog. That's not going to happen. It hasn't happened. It's not going to happen. There's no direct increased financial rewards to producers. And it's hard to measure the on-farm improvements. Now, I will say one of the weaknesses of what we've done, and we've done it twice now, we've done it with food safety, and we've done it again with animal care, is that we didn't do kind of baseline research to say, this is where the industry is now, and then do it again every year to show over time this is how the industry has changed. And I think that alone, had we done that, so I encourage people that don't have these programs or they're just starting out, if you have the money to do it, try to do it, because it is giving back to your producers, this is why we're doing this. I think ideally you could do it at the national level, like to show how the industry is changing, but also the on-farm, like what changes is a producer doing that is going to actually help them run their businesses more efficiently and is also contributing to improved animal welfare. But what happens, and it's a practical situation, most of us national associations are small groups. And even to take on the development of these programs is a pretty big undertaking. We just don't have the resources to add on to that kind of this baseline research, but yet, if I was to do it again, I'd probably put a lot more effort to try to get the money to do both kind of industry-level work and on-farm work to help show what the benefits are to producers. And it's hard to measure these societal benefits, and I think animal care in particular is the tough one. We are always encouraging producers to be on the program because it's the right thing to do. Right? It's the way to tell our story. It's how to respond to consumer concerns and questions about how hogs are raised. How do you show the benefit of a program because something didn't happen, because you didn't have a negative campaign against your industry. You just can't show that, and yet that's probably one of the biggest benefits of these programs is to be able to tell your story. And this whole question of raising awareness with stakeholders. You know, how do we go out and talk to customers about what we're doing? And when I say customers, I mean, you know, retailers and food service, the people that are actually getting the face-to-face with consumers, processors, and consumers. You know, how do we get our story out about what we're doing on farm, on animal care? So where are we at now? I will say that the timing of our introduction of our animal care assessment was really bad. It was launched in 2005, but really 2006 is when we started talking about it. Well, the fall of 2006, hog producers started losing money, and some of them haven't recovered. So a long, unprecedented period of losses in the Canadian hog industry, and the last thing they really wanted to talk about was a new program. And a new program that was really designed to help demonstrate things that most of them were doing anyway. So it was hard to convince them to get on board. When kind of the worst of the crisis was over, our board of directors said, you know, we've got to get back into showing our dedication to animal care in a public way. And so they decided to link the animal care program to our food safety program. And why that's important is because our food safety program is a condition of sale to the vast majority of federally inspected plants in Canada. And so once we link them, meaning if you are on food safety, you also have to meet the animal care requirements, it's essentially a condition of sale. So effective January 1st, 2012, those two programs are linked. So you have to meet all the requirements. And some of the production side is a little bit hesitant about it, but that was the way to say, you know what, we've had this program out long enough. We should have seen higher participation rates, but because of the state of the industry, it didn't happen. We'll kind of force our own hand, essentially, and merge the two programs together. Just for your information, both our food safety program and the animal care program are voluntary. I always put a question mark beside that because if you ask any hog producer if our CQA program is voluntary, they'd say no because it's a condition of sale. So over 90% of hogs marketed in Canada are on CQA farms. So as these programs get twinned, that's the participation rate you'll see with animal care. So we have an assessment tool, but we didn't update our code. And it was really about what was more important to the industry at the time. It was showing what was happening on farms, not another education piece. But now that we have this new code process, which the Canadian Pork Council is very much supportive of, we are on track to develop our new code of practice. And once this is completed, then we will also look to revising our animal care assessment, and by then we hope the National Farm Animal Care Council's assessment protocol is finalized and we can use that to revise our assessment tool. We are very much supporters of what NFAC is doing because I think it is, as Robin pointed out, a unique approach that we're taking in Canada that means that we can have confidence in codes that are coming out. So I can have confidence in the beef code that's coming out because we know it's going to have followed the same process as ours has. And we're also supporters of having a nationally consistent approach to developing assessment tools as well so that we can talk confidently about that. I think the code process and the assessment process will help provide guidance to commodities that want to go that route and to make sure the right stakeholders are at the table. But it builds us a solid foundation that's transparent, consistent across commodities, and certainly with enhanced credibility. We see ourselves still in the early stages of this whole animal welfare code and assessment side of things. We need to do it right, and we need to have the buy-in from lots of people and not lots of groups. I think we talked earlier, there was a question about promoting this Canadian approach, and I think that's really an important part of it, that we need to promote, that we have consistently developed codes, that we have assessment programs that are based on codes, and ensure that everybody's aware of what it is that we're doing. And I think just to close, we have an opportunity to do this right, and in the process maintain and really regain public confidence in the farming community regarding the care of animals. And I think as Jackie noted, it's just great to see everyone come together at a meeting like this so we can find the way forward, that everybody has a voice, and that we can all be confident in what we're doing to safeguard the care of animals on Canadian farms. Thank you very much.